Amen. All right. Well, hey, you guys know that I love you, right? As your shepherd. I love you. You guys are getting nervous. I haven't even got started yet. I love you guys. It's just true. It's right. I'm just saying that just because it's politically correct. And you expect that from your shepherd, but I do. But I'm just going to be honest with you today, man. We're going to have a moment of truth here at Sunrise Bible Church. Some of you are putting that love to the test. Okay, and I'm going to just demonstrate that. Now, some of you, I won't mention any names, but you actually got me some fried chicken erasers. And they're in the shape of chicken nuggets, which is just evil foam is all that really is. Okay? And like I'm ever going to use those? Hey, love you, but come on. Right? That's a major distraction. Oh, if that wasn't bad enough, then some of you actually gave me some rotisserie chicken candy canes. I almost need to brush my mouth for saying that. That's sick. That's gross. You're putting my love to the test. And this one, I don't even want to touch. If you think I'm going to open it, you got another thing coming. But it's fried chicken candy. I assume in the shape as it's depicted here as a drumstick, which is really the code word for evil on a bone. So let's just deal with it. Okay. But man, some of you guys are putting it to the test. You're making it rough on me, okay? Now, as rough as that is, how many guys would have to say that 2020 was a rough year? All right. Now, for those of you who've been living under a rock, I want to demonstrate to you just how rough it really is. If we were to put 2020 into a meme, okay, I think it would go something like this. Let's take a look at a couple of them today, okay? Well, first of all, if 2020 was a slide, that would be it, right? Yeah. Yeah, you know it's true, folks, if that were a slide, all right? Hey, if 2020 were food, that's what you get right there. Yeah, that's pretty gross. Hey, if 2020 were cereal, oh yeah, that's exactly what it was. Hey, if 2020 was a bag of chips, that's orange juice and toothpaste flavored. Lay's potato chips, that's right. Hey, if 2020 was a car, yeah, put some more duct tape on it. That's right. Hey, if 2020 was a boat, yeah, no worries. No worries. Glub, 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 that's right. Hey, if 2020 had a mascot. Look at that thing. It's like a rabid weasel wiener dog. I don't know what that is. I'll tell you what. There's a mascot for 2020. Hey, if 2020 was a mug. Yeah. And you stick your hand inside and burn your hand. That's exactly what it was. If 2020 was a swing. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Works one time. I tell you what. Hey, if 2020 were a pinata. Yeah, smack that baby. Yeah, you'll find out what comes out. I tell you what. Hey, if it were a swimming pool. New face plant there. 2020 was a fishing trip. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be fine. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, the whole year. I tell you what, Jaws there. Hey, if 2020 was a hula hoop. Woo-hoo! Whoa! Chances. If 2020 were a candy bar. Yeah. A little Twix thing there. And that's right. If 2020 was a salad. Look at that. I'm not making that up. With tomatoes. Look at the face on that thing. That's exactly what 2020 was. But I tell you what, the all-time perfect meme, though, folks. If 2020 was a chicken, there you go. Except in reality, they're always like that. So let's just deal with that. Okay, it's not just 2020. They're like that every day of the year. Let's pray. No. But yeah, 2020, man, what a year, huh? Was that really crazy or what? Just absolutely nuts, all the things that went on. But folks, I hate to tell you, Dean, you know, the Bible says there's coming a time to the planet that's going to make 2020 look like absolute chump change. Okay, you'll wish it was just chicken with horns on it. Okay, the Bible says that in fact, it's not just 1 year. It's not just 2 years. It's not just 3 years in a row. It's 7 years in a row. It's called the 7-year tribulation, and that one's not a joke. I don't think there's an appropriate meme we could ever describe for that. Okay, unless you want to have a picture of the cross and tell people, get out, flee, run. Because that's the only way, that's the only thing you can do. Jesus said the 7-year tribulation, it's not a meme, it's not a joke, it's reality. It's what's coming to this planet. Okay, that's why he died on the cross, right? To save us, to rescue us, okay? And he said it was the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God kept it, in essence, to that 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. 2020 is nothing compared to what this planet is going through. And that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. God is not just a God of wrath, he's a God of love. He gives us signs that it's getting close. So if you're not saved, you better get saved right now. It's not a game. If you are saved, finish strong. Okay, finish strong, okay? Now, we've already seen the first of those three signs, of course, is the Jewish people and the Antichrist. Then we saw the second sign was modern technology. And the last 21 times, who's counting? That's right, Pastor Bobby, I am. The last 21 times is the AI invasion. What we've been seeing in the book of Daniel 2,600 years ago said, here's a sign that you're headed towards not just the last days, but the end of times. Okay, it's what he says there. And it's when you see this massive increase of information. And believe it or not, not only was that predicted 2,600 years ago in the book of Daniel, but the seculars agree. They don't call it end of times. They call it singularity, where they say that AI, artificial intelligence, robots are going to take over humanity and destroy us. Right? They agree. They just call it by a different name. So we begin to take a look at how do we get into this position? Well, we saw that there's a race for AI, including what we're going to see today. A whole new category, okay, Lord willing. Then we saw the definition of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI, the big data for AI, the makers of AI, and the last multitude of times, just like God warned about, the future coming with AI, it's not good. It's invading every sector of society that you could possibly think of, and it's leading towards this end of time scenario. It's taken over business, finance, convenience, agriculture, communication, education, medical, transportation, and then last time we saw, it's taken over not only the future of those areas, but also criminal investigation, right? We saw that the Antichrist, apparently my theory, Matthew 24, is covering all bases. He's not only got a way to keep people from fleeing from his order to worship him by taking over the global transportation system, but even the criminal investigation system. And he's using AI to basically create a scenario where he'll even know when you're trying to flee before you even flee, and he'll come and round you up. It's crazy. It's the Minority Report movie. Remember that? And we saw he's doing that by creating AI robot police. Why? My theory? Because in case some human officer hesitates on rounding up their fellow human for some nefarious purpose, okay? There's that. But he's also controlling the police investigations where they are right now. It's not coming. It's already being put into play here in the United States and around the world. Predictive policing, where they take this AI and they allow it to go through all the Big Brother information they've been gathering on us for years through the computers, cell phones, video cameras, in home, out of home, from the satellites, in the public, social media posts, data records, financial records, purchasing records, you name it. And AI is building this profile to predict when we're going to, quote, commit a crime before it's even done. And AI, it's already being put into place. And I believe the Antichrist will tap into that, and that'll be another part of his roundup. Again, just like the movies we've been seeing, Logan's Run, Minority Report. But speaking of movies, there's another one that I believe Hollywood's been used to prepare us for what's coming, including with AI technology. And that's the next one. The 10th area that we see the AI is making an invasion into is the military. And I'm talking on a massive, massive scale, and such a big scale that we're going to take at least two studies, Lord willing, to cover this, okay? And basically what we have to describe, I'm not making this up, and I think you're going to agree when we're, Lord willing, done, if we're still alive and still here, the rapture hasn't happened. We're basically seeing the Terminator movies become reality. And it isn't just our military, folks. It's militaries around the world. It isn't just big corporations. It's not just big governments around the world that are using AI to invade basically every sector of society that you can think of. We've been seeing that, okay? I'm telling you, the militaries are doing it as well. In fact, just in our own country here, the U.S. alone, we are now spending, just in defense spending, this year alone, $4 billion. Not million, billion dollars. And then another $1 billion for non-defense efforts for AI. So $5 billion in 1 year alone just in the U.S. on AI technologies in the military. Now, we used to be the leader in that, but now here comes the problem. We're starting to get outpaced by other countries. Now, this is a graph that's out there with the military AI technologies, and basically in 2017, as you can see in the green there, we were the largest market for AI in the military. But what they're predicting in the yellow, as you can see, primarily Russia and China, the communist countries, they're saying by 2025, they're going to overtake us and take the lead. Okay? And again, it's a multitude of countries around the world, but that's the big guns. That's what's going on right now as we sit here concerned about other issues. Okay? And then now what they're saying is it's leading to, this is their words, not mine, it's leading to an artificial intelligence arms race. And basically what they're saying is happening right now as we sit here, not coming, what's already happening, has been happening for years, is just like in the past when we had the Cold War era, remember that? When a new technology was birthed at the end of World War II called nuclear warfare, nuclear weaponry. What happened from that point forward, even after World War II? It launched what's called the Cold War scenario, where we had to hurry up and build the biggest, baddest, most numerous arsenal of nuclear weapons as a deterrent to keep those other countries, and it just spiraled out of control. Remember that? They're saying the same things going on right now with AI. With AI being implemented in the military, it's a global military AI arms race to see who could build the biggest, baddest AI system on the planet before somebody else does, including China or Russia or other countries. That right, there's a race for it to build that scenario. Okay, right now, as we talk about it, and it's not hyperbole, and I quote, every country knows this. And they're saying what is happening is, quote, a whole new way of warfare is coming to our planet as a result. Just like warfare changed with nuclear capabilities, warfare is radically changed with having AI in charge of it. And what they're basically saying is what's coming to our planet is this movie scene. And I think this is going to kind of depict some of the wars that were, if we were here, to see in the seven-year tribulation. But let's recall this scene.
Three billion human lives ended on August 29th, 1997. The survivors of the nuclear fire called the war Judgment Day. They lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines.
Good thing that's just a movie. I mean, there's no way, seriously, that the militaries around the world are actually what they're doing. AI robots, Terminator robots, AI controlled unmanned flying vehicles, killing people. It's all being controlled by this rogue AI Skynet system. And yeah, you can sense the sarcasm. That system is not coming, folks. I'm telling you, it's already being put into place. That science fiction movie is about to become our reality on a massive scale, and I believe it has everything to do with the wars mentioned in the seven-year tribulation. As always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. Open your Bibles to Revelation 6. We're going to take a look at the first war that breaks out almost at the very beginning, shortly after the Antichrist makes his appearance at the very beginning and ushers in this false utopia. But boy, is that busted up real fast with the global war. Okay, and then we're going to see the results of that war. Okay, Revelation chapter 6 and the sealed judgments at the very beginning of the seven-year tribulation. Here's how it starts and how it moves forward. And we're just dealing with the first half here. Okay, but let's take a look as we read God's holy word here. Revelation 6 verse 1 says this, I watched as the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. Who's the one opening these seals? This is coming from the hand of God from the very get-go. This is not the wrath of Satan or the wrath of man. This is the wrath of the Lamb. Okay, he's opening up these seals, and he opens up the first of the seven, and he says, then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. He rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest, the rise of the Antichrist. But boy, that's short-lived, this false utopia. What comes next? When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. And there another horse came out, a fiery red one, global war. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth, the whole planet, and to make men slay each other. In fact, to him was given a large sword there. And then, verse 5, when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard what sounded like the voice among four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and don't damage the oil and the wine. And then here's the results. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And I looked, there before me was a pale horse, and its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind them. In the Greek, it's a very graphic picture here. It's basically as fast as people are dying like flies, they're being scooped up, thrown straight into hell, man. It's just like an assembly line, dying, going to hell, dying, going to hell, dying, going to hell. Whoa, it's very macabre. And then he says this, well, how many people? Well, here you go. They were given a power over how much? A fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the what? Wild beasts of the earth. You may be seated as you can, but we've been in this passage few times before, but basically what we see is after the first seal is opened up, the rise of the Antichrist, his false utopia, it's short-lived because the second seal opens up and bang, instantly you got a global war that breaks out. And then by the time you get to the fourth seal, you get the number of the effects of that, and that's 1/4 of the earth. So for those of you hooked on mathematics, including those of you who are not, let's go ahead and go down that route. If that were to happen today, based on today's population of the planet, that is nearly 2 billion people, about 1.8 billion people, not million, billion, nearly 2 billion people, bang! And we're just getting started in the 7-year tribulation. 1/4 of the planet wiped out. Not 1/4 of the United States, not 1/4 of China. 1/4 of the planet is wiped out. Okay, in this global war. And then it keep going. As the progression of the judgments in the 7-year tribulation, Jesus said are like birth pains. And when you have a birth pain at the very beginning, when your wife tells you, I think I'm giving birth, and you're out there playing football with your nephews, it's not that serious. Or at least I thought, and that's why I got in trouble. But as it but as we finally did get in the car, yeah. Hey, I'm just telling you, man. Anyway. As we finally did get in the car, and then we got to the hospital, and as time went on, guess what happened? Yeah, worse and worse until, hey, it's delivery time. Bah! And Rebecca's head popped out. Okay. And so, but that's what it is. So the seals, you think seals are bad? You ain't seen nothing until the trumpet judgments come. You think the trumpet judgments, but you ain't seen nothing until the bulge. That's at the end. Oh! And here comes Jesus Christ. And so, again, you keep reading. You thought this was bad 1/4. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get even worse. Progressively worse for year after year after year. In fact, by the time you get to the trumpet judgments, and you still got the bowl judgments to come, listen to another swath of humanity that gets annihilated, right? Revelation 9, 15 through 16, and the four angels who've been prepared for the hour and day and month and year. Stop right there. That tells you God's got it all marked out. Not some random event. He's the one in control. That's another wonderful message during this time frame. We were released. They were released so that they would what? Kill how many? What? A third of mankind. They're already wiped out a fourth. Here goes a what? Another third? Wow. In fact, the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. How in the world are you going to get a 200 million army? I mean, I just checked the stats, not counting the reserves. China's got about 2.3 million. We got about 1.8 million or something like that. 1.3 maybe. Not counting reserves. That's a drop in a bucket to 200 million. I wonder if they'll resort to something else to create that army. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe next study we'll get into that. That's crazy. But here's my point. Just in these two judgments, you still got a long ways to go in the 7-year tribulation. Just in these two judgments, what's going to happen? Do the math, folks. You're talking about if it were happening today, today's population, 3.6 billion people are going to die. That's not talking the asteroids that are come slamming from the earth. That's not talking about the comet that's going to come by and poison the water and many people die. It's not talking about the tsunamis created from the asteroid and 1/3 of the ships and everything, the coastline. What? 1/3 of the earth burning up and then later the whole earth burns up and all the grass and everything. That's not even counting that. Just from these two, about half the planet is going to die. Now my question is this. Wait a second. No wonder Jesus said there's urgency today. That if God is tugging at your heart, get saved today. Don't mess around with this, because the next event on his prophetic time calendar is called the rapture. There's nothing that needs to be fulfilled for that to take place. It can happen any minute. That's why it's called an imminent doctrine. It can happen at any moment. It can happen today. And then you'd be left behind. You're going to be in this time frame. Don't do it. Turn to Jesus now. Receive his fantastic, how great thou art, mercy and grace, and get saved. Amen? Why are you waiting for? But for those left behind, he said it's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. And again, folks, we're not even talking about, remember the Zechariah 13, the second Jewish Holocaust that's coming? I mean, this is a total annihilation of basically half the planet. So my question is, do we have the technology today to fulfill these passages of Scripture, and dare I say, without using nuclear warfare? Now, why do I say that? Because people say, oh, you can kill 3.6 billion people real quick. Piece of cake. We'll just drop some nukes. Well, yeah, you drop that amount of nukes, which means other countries are going to drop their nukes, and what do you got? You got global winter. Everything's shut down. But see, you don't see that in the seven-year tribulation. You see massive wars, massive killing of people, but society still continues to eke out an existence and march forward. Antichrist still does the mark of the beast. He ties in the global economy. So you can't do that if you're in a nuclear winter. So me, I'm going like, well, how do you do it then? How do you annihilate nearly half the planet in a relatively short amount of time? AI. AI being combined with military, I think we're starting to see the answer. And I want to break that down for you. And the first way is just like the Terminator movies, you saw those things flying in the sky that were shooting at people? Those are called unmanned vehicles. Good thing we don't have any of those. It's even beyond that. It's not just vehicles in the sky. It's vehicles on the ground. It's vehicles on the water, vehicles under the water, and they don't need humans anymore. Okay? It's unmanned vehicles. You don't need humans to fight your wars for you anymore, is what they're, you know, to drive, to fly, to any of that stuff. AI can handle it just like the Terminator movies. It's not coming. It's already being put into play. As we've seen before, let me give you just some examples of what's called unmanned vehicles in about every arena of the military you can think of. Let's take a look at that.
Taranis is the most advanced air system conceived, designed, and built in the UK.
The Office of Naval Research, ONR, is developing new capability for unmanned flight, known as the Autonomous Aerial Cargo Utility System, ACUS. ACUS technology makes it possible for unmanned helicopters to fly and bring supplies to Marines in the field with just the touch of a user's tablet.
The Pentagon Research Group, DARPA, is developing a drone ship that would save money and manpower on expensive searches for super quiet enemy submarines. A prototype vessel is already in production. The vast ocean is a great place to hide. So DARPA is also developing stealthy deep-sea robot capsules. They could sit on the ocean floor for years until U.S. controllers trigger them to float to the surface and release unmanned flying vehicles. From above, these drones could transmit images showing nearby enemy activity. All this emerging technology offers a pretty good indication that the ocean is about to become a lot more robotic.
And now we're talking about this, a UUV, the world's first fully autonomous, unmanned, multi-mission stealth submersible. They've named it Talisman after the good luck charm. But if they ever send this baby against you, chances are your luck will run out.
Although BAE Systems is reluctant to discuss its full potential, they don't deny Talisman could carry a range of weapons in its internal munitions bay. But as future generations are developed, BAE Systems believes UUVs will dominate underwater warfare. Adding sabotage, close-quarter combat and counter-terrorism to its mission capabilities.
Friday, turn to somebody and say, we're toast. At least the people in the seven-year tribulation. Have fun trying to run from that stuff. Not coming, but already here, we have unmanned, AI-equipped jet fighters, tanks, submarines, ships, boats, jeeps, helicopters, supply vehicles, you name it. Basically, everything that the militaries around the world use, guess what? You don't need humans anymore. In the sky, on the ground, on the water, under the water, AI is controlling it all. In fact, folks, I'm telling you, the militaries, there really is an AI arms race going on. And militaries are so sold on it, including our own, that they want AI to run everything. And I mean everything. Okay, let me give you just a short list of what the military plans to do with AI that I came across. They want AI to run all their military surveillance, the remote communications to track enemy movement, for reconnaissance and search for lost injured soldiers, for so-called peacekeeping operations. Now, just on land, they want it to run, as you just saw in the videos, all the military fighting vehicles, all the unmanned ground vehicles, all the air defense system vehicles, command and control systems, and a whole list of other things on the land. But then also on the sea, they want AI to run all the naval ships, all the submarines, the unmanned maritime vehicles, as you saw there, and a whole list of other ones. In the air, they want AI to run the fighter aircraft and the helicopter. Again, it's not coming, it's already here. Transport and cargo aircraft, unmanned aerial vehicles. They also, a whole bunch of other things. They also, in space, we got a new space force, you know. Space, I'll get to that in a second, which includes they want AI to be the one launching space vehicles. They want AI to manage all the satellites around the planet and a whole host of other things, okay? They also want just various applications that you could think of in the military, basically all. They want it to run the AI warfare platform, the deployment and integration, logistics and transportation, AI to do target recognition, battlefield healthcare, simulation and training by AI, planning and allocation, threat monitoring, situational awareness, information processing, AI, they want to run all the military software, all the military hardware, all the military networks, the cybersecurity for the military, the upgrade and maintenance for the military, AI, they want to run the supercomputing, the quantum computing, the neuromorphic engineering, which is making brain chips. Why would they want to do that? Because they're going to be putting into actual Terminator robots that are already being built and we're not even there yet. That's just a list that I put together of some articles and research that I did. And I don't know about you, but you stir it all together and it looks like pretty much everything. They want to have who run it? AI. Now, speaking of movies, what does that start to sound like? It rhymes with Skynet, for those of you wondering. What kind of a system are you building that will take control of every aspect of your military and you remove the human equation? And again, folks, we're not the only one doing this. It's going global. And they admit, here's the danger when you give that kind of power to AI and you remove the humans. They say, quote, AI is being developed for target recognition, recon drones, tank gun sights, infantry goggles, predictive maintenance that warns mechanics to fix failing components before human senses can even detect that there's even anything wrong, cognitive warfare systems that figure out the best way to jam enemy radar, airspace management systems that convert strike fighters, helicopters, artillery shells on the same target, automate staff work, turn a commander general's plan of attack into detailed timetables to tell combat units and supply convoys they have to move when and where, and quote, since these systems use AI, they can learn from experience, which means, quote, they can continually rewrite their own programming, quote, in no ways that human minds can follow. Can I translate that for you? At this point, we don't even know what it's doing. We hope it works out. That's from the military, is what they're saying. And again, it's all over the world. And again, it's not going to stop, okay? They're saying we have to do this now because it's like Hiroshima and Nagasaki was the turning point, right? You worked on it, but you used it. And once you used it, everybody woke up and said, uh-oh, we better get in the game. I'm telling you folks, that's what's going on right now. And here's the rationale. This is from the Pentagon. They're saying U.S. is in danger of losing dominance in artificial intelligence. And what they're specifically saying is to China and Russia. In fact, they're saying that China is so heavily invested in, they, quote, plan to overtake America's dominance by militarizing AI, not just in business and finance, and robotics and quantum computing, and they're rapidly closing the gap with America. That could happen, they're saying, in just a few years. And then now we're the ones left in the dust. In fact, they're also warning that China's application of AI should be a Sputnik moment for the U.S. But will it be? Will we wake up to this? Now, if you guys know your history, what was Sputnik? When the Russians launched a satellite into orbit before anybody else did, and nobody knew that they had that ability, it was a what? It was a wake-up call. It's like, oh, we better hurry up and get serious about this and build our own, or we're toast, right? That's what they're saying should happen to us right now. We better wake up and realize how close it's getting that China's going to overtake Russia, become some other country's going to become military dominant with AI technology. And then this, they're saying that is they're saying other countries could go rogue. It could be terrorists. They're saying weaponizing artificial intelligence, the scary prospect of AI-enabled terrorists. So now it's bad enough that Russia could overtake us, or especially China or some other country. Right? But now what if those terrorist countries use it for nefarious purposes? And then we get, so they're saying, listen, the genie is out of the bottle and it can't be put back again. And this is from the Army War College. They're saying AI is going to change the art of war. Right? And here's what they said. Watch this. What happens when AI produces a war strategy too complex for human brains to understand? Do you trust the computer to guide your moves, like a traveler blindly following whatever the GPS says? What happens when humans start taking military advice or even orders from machines? Quote, the reality is it's already happening. They're listening to a Skynet system, basically. And they say this, there is no turning back. Not maybe, not might. This is where we're headed. The Pentagon will, not maybe, they will use artificial intelligence to find nuclear missiles and predict potential strikes, amongst other things. Okay, which includes the new arm of military, just like Skynet. Skynet was what? It was in space, being controlled and controlling everything going on the planet, right? Well, as you know, we have a new Space Force. In fact, they just came out with a name. Remember the name that was just given to these guys? Kind of cool. Guardians. It's kind of cool. Science fiction. Kind of the Guardians of the, you know. And so that's it. But guess what's going to space too? It's not just people. Here it is, folks. AI. AI is going to be the one that's in space too. Artificial intelligence arms race accelerating where? In space. No wonder we better get cracking with this Space Force. Because they're basically, everybody's trying to create a Skynet to control the planet with AI. There's a whole new military aspect. In fact, they admit it's going to get ugly, like Skynet, right? Watch this. The UK must prepare to fight wars with who in space? I'm just reading headlines. Artificial intelligence in space. And it basically says this. AI frequently comes up with effective strategies that no human would conceive of. And in many cases, no human could execute. Watch this. At what point do you give up on trying to understand the alien mind of the AI and, quote, just hit the I believe button? What? It, like the movie. Remember the movie? They said, well, hope it works. And they launched Skynet. This, I'm just reading headlines. This is what's going on. And we're all concerned about other things. And it's not just our country. It's militaries around the world. They say, quote, well, listen to this. We haven't come up with the final answer, but we better start at least asking the right questions, quote, before we turn the AIs on. Turn to somebody and say, well, duh. And the reason is, folks, because once you allow AI to take over your systems, first of all, you hope it doesn't go rogue, number one. Number two, it will be able to react in superhuman ways that your old military technology, you'll be annihilated. Like this scene. Let's take a look at this.
Threat to Skynet. Get down!
Come on.
We must go. It is not safe here.
Come on.
Good thing that was just a movie scene, purely for our entertainment. Now, we're going to get into that next. That technology is here, too. Include those smaller vehicles, including really small vehicles that look like insects. And they're armed and equipped. It's crazy. You really think that the Antichrist wouldn't tap into the system? You get all these militaries to launch AI into space and then control everything, all the militaries. You think one guy wouldn't figure out a way to tap into all that and use it? How is he going to annihilate so many people without using nuclear warfare in such a short amount of time? I think we're starting to see the answer for the first time in the history of mankind. And I think AI is playing a big part. But I mentioned those smaller ones, and that's where we're headed now. AI is also taking over, not just the unmanned vehicles, you know, in the sky, on the water, on the ground, under the water, the traditional fighting vehicles. They got new ones, and they're called miniaturized vehicles, or what's called MAVs. What we saw was UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles, or UUVs, underwater unmanned vehicles. But now we're talking about MAVs, and they mean micro aerial vehicles. And we've seen this before, but basically what they're doing is they're mimicking pretty much every insect you can think of, turning it into robotics, and in some cases, as you're going to see with your own eyes, I'm not making this up, they're equipping them with weaponry to take people out. You see, you just thought that was a cockroach that, you know, you're trying to hide out and it just came underneath your door. No, that wasn't. It was just a beetle. I mean, I looked outside the window and there was a beetle going across the back patio, and that's all it was, just a beetle. No. A termite, a dragonfly, a butterfly, a hornet. I'm telling you, everything I just mentioned and a whole bunch more, they've already mimicked with AI drone technology. And in many cases, they're weaponizing them. I'm going to give you just two quick examples. The first one, these are military demonstrations. The first one's from the Army, right? And it's called the MAST program, M-A-S-T. It stands for Micro Autonomous Systems Technology. And you'll see that they're working together with insects. Dragonflies, moths, spiders, not coming, already here. And they communicate with each other. And they perform missions to take people out. The second one is the Air Force MAV technology program. They call it the Future of War Fighting, right? But they're going to use these things to take people out. But let's take a look at that.
Micro air vehicles, or MAVs, will play an important role in future warfare. The urban battlefield calls for tools to increase the warfighter's situational awareness and capacity to engage rapidly, precisely, and with minimal collateral damage. MAVs will be integrated into future Air Force layered sensing systems. These systems may be airdropped or hand-launched depending on the mission requirements. The small size of MAVs allows them to be hidden in plain sight. Once in place, an MAV can enter a low-powered extended surveillance mode for missions lasting days or weeks. This may require the MAV to harvest energy from environmental sources, such as sunlight or wind, or from man-made sources, such as power lines and vibrating machinery. It will blend in with its surroundings, and operate undetected. MAVs will use microsensors and microprocessor technology to navigate and track targets through complicated terrain, such as urban areas. Small size and agile flight will enable MAVs to covertly enter locations inaccessible by traditional means of aerial surveillance. MAVs will use new forms of navigation, such as a vision-based technique called optic flow. This system remains robust when traditional methods, such as GPS, are unavailable. Individual MAVs may perform direct attack missions and can be equipped with incapacitating chemicals, combustible payloads, or even explosives for precision targeting capability. Like their biological inspiration, MAVs are not limited to flight. The agile hovering, perching, and crawling MAV will fulfill the mission popularly termed dull, dirty, and dangerous, like no current system can. MAVs will become a vital element in the ever-changing warfighting environment and will help ensure success on the battlefield of the future. Unobtrusive, pervasive, lethal, micro-air vehicles, enhancing the capabilities of the future warfighter.
Lethal. Did you see the example? It wasn't just for surveillance. What'd they come with? A payload. I don't know if you can see it on the video there, but that thing was hovering over that guy's back of the head. He didn't even know that thing was flying there. Took him out just like that. Actual technology that's already here, not coming. And that's just two examples, just real quick. And that's from the Army. That's also from the Air Force. Okay, I'm going to give you one now from the Navy. Because if that wasn't bad enough, and again, put yourself, unfortunately, if somebody made the biggest mistake, didn't get saved today, they're in the seven-year tribulation. Have fun trying to hide. Right? You got AI that could tap into all the traditional things that can come find you. The jet fighters, the jeeps, the submarines, the tanks, you name it. Now you're building these little things that you don't even think. You're thinking, oh, that was just a fly. No, it wasn't. But you wouldn't know. Looks like a fly. Looks like a beetle. That was just a pigeon. No, it wasn't. It could be there monitoring you, and eventually, if the order is given, it will be right there to take you out. How's the Antichrist going to start taking people out on a massive scale? 3.6 billion in a relative, it's starting to stack up. And you think, well that's a lot of coordination. Well, you're right, because that's only, what we've seen so far is only half the danger. It's not just AI taking over the military equipment and AI taking over these micro air vehicles. They're developing, and this is their terms, not mine, they're developing what's called swarm technology. And not developing, it's already here. Because, see, that makes sense, because that's not only what, you know, insects do. Flies don't just fly. Bees don't just fly. Birds don't just fly. What do? Especially with, like, bees, right? They what? They get mad at you. Oh, they're smaller than you, but they outnumber you, and they, quote, they swarm together to take their prey out. That's exactly why they labeled this new AI technology swarm technology. It gives every AI equipment, every little MAV, every little fighter, jet, jeep, they could all communicate with no people involved and swarm their prey and take them out like a pack of bees. Watch this from the Navy. It's already here.
U.S. Navy autonomous swarm boats. The future is now. With autonomous swarm boats, unmanned Navy vessels can overwhelm an adversary. A first-of-its-kind technology enables swarming capability, which gives our naval warfighters a decisive edge. The U.S. Navy is unleashing a new era in advanced ship protection. A swarm of autonomous boats that will automate ship self-defense and be able to deter, damage, or destroy an enemy threat, giving added protection to sailors and Marines in harm's way.
When we look at autonomous swarm, we're not talking about a single vessel. We're talking about multiple vessels that can be in a defensive posture, and then when called upon, then can become offensive, surround an adversary, let them know that you are coming no closer to our ship. But of course, if an adversary or threat decides to come closer, we can give them another warning, or potentially we can say, you've come too close, we're now going to destroy your vessel.
You don't have to go out and purchase a new vessel. You take any of these vessels out here that the Navy already has, we unman them, we put the system on it, you put the eyes and ears, depending on what kind of mission you want to do, on the vessel, and then let it go do its mission.
as they get further into a congested environment, a red or a adversary approaches, and the swarm will go and surround the adversary and defend the ship and then come back and continue to protect the ship.
Now, any boat can be fitted with a kit that allows it to operate autonomously and together swarm on any threat.
Not coming already here. And did you see?
Oh, you know how many trillions of dollars? We'll never get that approved by the Congress. You know, that we'd have to build all brand new boats and all brand new jet fighters and all brand new.
No, you put it on what? You put it on existing equipment. And you don't need people anymore. And it's not just now it's unmanned. Now it can what? It can communicate with the other AI equipment intelligently and work together to swarm its prey. Already being put into place. And again, folks, we're not the only one. Guess what? Other countries are doing the same thing. They're also working on swarm technology. As you can see, this is China. China's new fleet of unmanned assault boats use AI. So they're working on swarm technology as well. Okay? And again, they're doing this with basically everything. They're not just saying, well, just for boats. It's any piece of equipment that has AI manning capabilities, including what we saw was the MAVs. They want the MAVs to swarm you like a pack of bees as well. Watch this.
Multiple MAVs, each equipped with small sensors, will work together to survey a large area. Information from these sensors will be combined, providing the swarm of MAVs with a big picture point of view. Data will be communicated amongst the MAVs to enable real-time, reliable decision-making and to provide an overall surveillance picture for other platforms or operators. Each individual MAV may perform a very distinct mission from its fellow swarm members. While some MAVs may be used purely for visual reconnaissance, others may be used for targeting or tagging of sensitive locations.
Well, have fun trying to hide from that. So now there's a pattern here. It's not just, okay, we don't need humans for all this equipment, including the MAVs that look like insects. So you wouldn't even necessarily recognize it. You're being monitored or tracked or tagged. But it's there. But they're what? The pattern is they're also going to use swarm technology so every piece of equipment can communicate and swarm its prey and take them out. Can you imagine this being unleashed in the 7-year tribulation on a global scale? How is that guy going to take so many people out in such a short amount of time? You tap into the system. It's not just individual equipment. Once you get targeted, once you get tagged, and oh, by the way, if you tricked everybody into getting microchips, you'll know their precise location, and you'll send a swarm of whatever you want to come and take them out. And as creepy as that is, we got one more to go, then we'll close. The next one is this. I wish I was making this one up. It's what they're doing is they're going to create a scenario where basically, again, terrorists. What if the terrorists got a hold of this technology, right? What would that look like? Maybe we'll refrain from that. Maybe China will refrain from that, okay? But let's take a look, folks, at what that could look like even today.
The nation is still recovering from yesterday's incident, which officials are describing as some kind of automated attack, which killed 11 U.S. senators at the Capitol building.
They flew in from everywhere, but attacked just one side of the aisle. It was chaos. People were screaming.
You can see high windows, very small, precisely punctured to gain entry to the building.
What did you do for the victim?
I just did what I could for him. Things weren't even interested in me. They're just buzzing.
Government sources admit the intelligence community has no idea who perpetrated the attack, nor whether it was a state, group, or even a single individual.
So if we can't defend ourselves, then we strike back.
We are investing very heavily in classified defense projects.
We make it our deterrent like our nuclear deterrent. We stockpile in the millions, the billions.
Claim relaxing firearm legislation would be useless against the so-called slaughter bots.
Just to stay away from crowds. When indoors, keep windows covered with shutters.
Protect your family. Stay inside.
you hear me? Leave us to me.
I can hear it.
Authorities are still struggling to make sense of an attack on university campuses worldwide, which targeted some students and not others. The search for a motive is apparently turning to social media, and a video shared by the victims exposing corruption at the high...
Who could have done this?
Anyone.
When you can find your enemy using data... Even by a hashtag, you can target an evil ideology right where it starts.
Including anybody in the 7-year tribulation that had an evil ideology. Like, I'm not going to worship this guy. This guy's nuts. And then based on all the other AI systems, Big Brother systems, the cell phone records, all the audio and video recordings, knowing your exact location, the databases, your financial transactions, I think he'll know exactly who to what. They're already depicting videos that this is what's coming. They will be able to specifically target who they consider a crime, a criminal. And with the swarm technologies, notice it wasn't just mass killing people randomly. It was what? It was identifying specific targets and taking them out. And you don't think the Antichrist would use this technology? I'm convinced he would. Especially when what? The church, the restraining influence is gone. Okay? But again, I said one more, and we're going to do one more, and that's this, and we'll close. Militarized animals. Now, I wish I was making this one up, too. You thought what we saw so far is crazy? This is nuts. They're not just having to take over all the military fighting equipment. They're not just mimicking insects. They're mimicking animals. And they're getting equipped with weaponry as well. You see, you just thought that was a dog, right? Running across. You're trying to hide out. Hey, look at that dog. That wasn't a dog. Ah, it's a lizard. It's a lizard climbing up the wall. That's all it is, especially here in Vegas. They're everywhere. Is that really a lizard? No, it's just a spider. No, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go. I'm moving to Australia. I'm going down under. They ain't going to find me there. That was just a kangaroo that went by. Now, I'm going to go in the ocean. I'm going to hide out from the Antichrist. That's why I don't need Jesus. You know, I'm just going to go. I'm going to build this biodiesel dome in the ocean. They can't get me there, really? You thought that was a jellyfish, a stingray, a lobster, a shark? Every one of those that I just mentioned to you are actually being turned into robotic, militarized animals. Let me give you just a few that are already out there. And so you won't even recognize it as an animal. And it could be there just like the flies, just like the birds, just like the hornets and the other equipment out there. It could be monitoring you, waiting to take you out as well, and you wouldn't even know. But let's take a look at a few of those.
In the waters off Virginia Beach, a fish of a different kind is cutting through the waves. The Ghost Swimmer is a robot spy built by the US military to resemble a tuna fish. It's 5 foot long and can operate in depths of up to 300 feet.
The Navy is building a fleet of robot jellyfish. I didn't know you had it in you to be that awesome, Navy. Scientists consider them to be one of the most efficient animals in the sea because they're able to get around easily without expending very much energy at all. They're also capable of living in these crazy temperature and pressure differences and in salt or fresh water. So when you're thinking about making an autonomous underwater robot, they're pretty much the animal that you want to mimic. This is Syro. It was created by researchers from Virginia Tech with a $5 million grant from the Navy. The Navy is essentially building their own drone surveillance network, an undersea version of what the Air Force and the CIA are building out for the skies. The implication here is that Syro could be outfitted for combat. A robot that big is obviously built to carry a large payload, so that payload could potentially be some sort of a weapons system.
By looking at how the rattlesnakes wriggle on sandy inclines, scientists at Georgia Tech found that as the slopes get steeper, the sidewinders keep more of their body in contact with the sand. The team then tested their idea with a snake-like robot that had been built at Carnegie Mellon University. Using the contact trick from the real rattlesnakes, researchers changed the robot's moves. Finally, it too could work its way up a slope.
This robot moves by twisting its body similar to the motion of a snake. The motion is almost the same on land and in water.
DARPA has a program to try to develop climbing robots for various applications, surveillance, inspection, and so on. If you want a robot that climbs vertical surfaces, smooth, rough, dirty, clean, then the gecko really is the premier example of a climbing animal. Once a robot climbs up there, it can hang. It doesn't have to expend any power, so it can cling there for hours or even days, unobtrusively. That's quite different from something like a small helicopter, which always has to expend a lot of power and make a lot of noise.
Cheetah Cub. Wanting to know how to make robots take control of tough terrain with the grace of a feline, scientists at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology made a robotic cat. Using it, they can assess joint force and agility without having to harm an actual animal.
First, let's start with who is in charge of technology developments for the military. That is the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, an agency that is the stuff of mystery novels. And recently, we've noticed they've been beefing up on robots. Most recently, they contracted with Boston Dynamics to create a cheetah robot. Check that out. Look at this drawing. It's a four-legged robot that reportedly runs faster than the fastest human. It will be able to zigzag and take tight turns in order to, quote, chase and evade. It'll also be able to make sudden stops and could end up with a tail.
Now imagine troops of real Terminators climbing up the side of a building, spying on the enemy, and waiting for that moment to attack.
Or gun, laser, whatever else they want to put on it. Not coming already here. And that's just a few of them, folks. That's not all of them. And I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, but as we get ready to close, let's go back to that opening text there. What was it that John, can you imagine? He's 2,000 years ago, right? And he's trying to describe this vision that he sees in the seven-year tribulation, right? And let's take it like Revelation 6, 7 through 8. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the fourth seal, the voice of the creature saying, come. And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. Again, it's just like you die, scoop them up, die, scoop them up. And they're dying like flies, lickety split, super fast. They were given a power over the fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, by plague, and by the what? You ever wondered about that one? Wild beasts of the earth. And it could be. Certainly, this is following the famine, which typically follows war. And last time I checked, people don't only get hungry, but animals get hungry. And that could happen. I'll even extrapolate a little bit more. It could be that, you know, in this global war, guess what is probably going to happen? The thousands of zoos with wild beasts in them, the animals are probably going to escape. Happens all the time, believe it or not, with floods and things of that nature. So maybe that's what it is. I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord, but maybe it's also something else. Maybe those wild beasts are some of the technology we're seeing. The birds, the flies, the cockroaches, the beetles, the lizards, the kangaroos, the cheetahs. And they're going to come and take you out in the seven-year tribulation. On the land, sea, air, water, you name it. I don't think there's much area to hide in the seven-year tribulation. Unless you think that they're not really going to use this. This is crazy. Let's go back to this article, and they expose this, folks. This is wild. And I quote, the United States and other Western countries are working on creating, and I quote, I'm not making this up, ant swarms for operations on the ground. Okay? Let's take a look at that. And also drone swarms for aerial operations. So just like we saw the slaughter bots and things of that nature. And, I kid you not, shark swarms for the sea. So these things are going to get the swarm technology along with the insects and other things, and it's nuts, okay? And again, this is from DARPA. This is called their Offset Program, and it stands for Offensive Swarm-Enabled Tactics. And what they want to do with this, listen to this, they envision swarms of, quote, 250 autonomous aerial and ground systems to assist in military endeavors. Can you imagine a pack of 250 robotic cheetahs coming your way? I'm going to get in a boat and hide. No, you're not. Can you imagine 250 robotic equipped sharks coming your way? Can you imagine 250 of those birds or Alfred Hitchcock eat your heart out? I'm not making this up. It's actual technology. And that's their point. It's called offset. They want at least 250 of these things working all together. Or a combination. We'll do the cheetahs on the ground because nobody can outrun those things. And we'll do the birds and the flies in the air. That's what they're talking about. It's crazy. If you don't think they're going to use swarms, they even call it a locust swarm in this one. An Air Force way of swarm. For decades, swarms in nature, like locust swarm, have intrigued scientists with their ability to use the simple and many to accomplish the large and complex. Now imagine being able to employ a collection of drones on the scale and the magnitude, listen, of a locust swarm. Now you're talking thousands, millions. Okay, and they say efforts are underway to meet the Air Force's growing demand for swarming drones. And quote, are we prepared to, quote, this is their words, unleash the swarm? Well, if you won't, I'm sure the Antichrist will. And it may look something like this. Let's take a look.
A $25 million order now buys this. Enough to kill half a city. The bad half. Nuclear is obsolete. Take out your entire enemy, virtually risk-free. Just characterize him, release the swarm, and rest easy. These are available today. We have a distribution network taking orders from military, law enforcement, and specialist clients.
How's it going to do, John? I mean, the Antichrist is literally going to be a part of annihilating in a relatively short amount of time. You still got a ways to go in the 7-year tribulation, but literally half the planet. And specific people too, anybody who disagrees with you. How in the world are you going to do that without using nukes? I think we're starting to see. AI unmanned vehicles, AI micro vehicles, AI militarized animals, and what I call the cleanup crew that they're also working on. Okay, militarized men. I'm talking actual Terminator robots that are not coming. They've already built. They've already equipped with weaponry. They can shoot weapons with both hands simultaneously, and they do not miss their target. They can drive vehicles just like in the Terminator movie. But we'll have to get to that next time. We're out of time. But what's our response to be? Freak out and run to the hills? No. It's all a sign that what? I'm firmly convinced this is the weaponry we're seeing now is going to be unleashed in the 7-year tribulation. We leave prior to the rapture, so what's our point? Get busy living for Jesus, sharing Jesus with as many as you can, amen? Don't get distracted, right? Keep looking up, right? But if you're not saved, what in the world are you waiting for? How many different signs, how many different ways has God got to say, would you please receive my son Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior now and escape the whole thing? I made a way. It's all completely paid for. It's all done. You just need to receive it. Why would you hesitate? You need to do that today. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave, and the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly, and please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.